Okay, hello, welcome to Indie Live Radio on a Friday night. I forgot what night it was, Matthew.
and so it begins.
Yeah, and well, I don't need to tell you Matthew's here because I've just mentioned his name, but hello, Matthew. I like to be nice.
Oh, God. How's things?
Not bad, yeah. It's just been a busy week here and all that. And no football this week, so that's it.
Yeah, it's a strange one, although the big one is tonight.
Yeah, tonight's the night, yeah. Scotland, we'll maybe get into that in a wee minute.
I thought you were going to say maybe we'll lose.
Maybe. You've got to have faith. I'll tell you a quick story before Scott. I don't know if you saw, you know how like there's Netflix, I think they're doing kind of like different documentaries on football teams. And yeah. I started watching the Tottenham one last night. The All or Nothing. You know, Man City dug one, and
you mean Nothing or Nothing in Tottenham's case.
Yeah. Tottenham nil, Spurs nil. So I watched that. So that was quite cool. I don't know why I'm talking about this for, but I would recommend it to people.
I saw a little bit of it, you know. It's always interesting when you see behind the scenes, because obviously we're talking about it and a lot of us people are talking about it from the outside. So it's always quite interesting to see what goes on the inside. But obviously you're talking about Manchester City there, and obviously they're quite successful. So Tottenham brings a different dynamic to it and how a team fares when they're not doing so well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like to see what's going on behind the scenes, you know, like the things that you don't see every day, and that's quite good. I think I said to you the other week as well, I was watching the Sunderland documentary as well, and that was quite good.
Aye, well, that was the one where, was it Jack Ross was in charge?
Yeah, it started with somebody else came in.
Because it was managing Sunderland this week.
Yeah. Will it be Matthew? No. or will it be Michael? No, because I'm in lockdown. So
well, I've got a lot of Newcastle friends, so I can't manage Sunderland. Sorry.
Oh, there you go. Oh, well done. I'm quite good. So if you got a minute or two, or maybe not a minute or two, but a couple of hours, because it's something for another. I started watching it last week, so I'm in episode 3 at the moment. So I'll let you know how it is next week. But I can tell you that Tottenham never won the league that season. So there you go.
When was the last time Tottenham won the league? Was it in the 60s or something?
I don't think we were about then, last year. You know,
Michael, I'm watching Game of Thrones, so you put me to shame sporting wise.
Well, they're about the same. If you've watched kind of documentaries recently, sporting ones, you can email me. I won't tell anyone else, apart from after. You can email us at thelockerroomindielife@gmail.com. Ah, that's a good start to the show, Matthew. So next week, I will be speaking about EastEnders and the week after. And the week after, Matthew is going to speak about Father Teg because he's over in Ireland.
And it is exactly like that.
Yeah. Go on. Anyway, we need to speak about sport. Or do we have to?
Do you like a cup of tea, Father?
I've got one here, thank you. A wee biscuit would be nice. Welcome to the locker room and the live regular on a Friday night. It's me, Matthew. No, my name's not Matthew. My name's Mike.
You don't want to be Matthew.
Yeah, and he's Matthew Lingard, and we're here for the next hour speaking about sport and what have you. But let's dive into the big news of the week. Yeah, let's dive into the big news of the week, and that's the end of the show. See you next week. The big news, well, obviously Scotland's playing tonight, and we'll get into that in a minute. But there's been rumours for a while now, Matthew, that Celtic was looking at Shane Duffy, and eventually they got the man on, Tuesday, Wednesday. That he
said
long till the end of the season.
Yeah, it was funny because he's obviously, I mean, it's a strange one because normally international football at this time of the year kind of takes over and the transfer window's shut and, you know, it's mainly about international football. But obviously with the transfer deadline being pushed into October, it's strange having an international break in September where players are still being signed. Duffy, I think, was actually in Dublin just preparing himself for the game last night against Bulgaria. So he was down in Dublin when the news came through that he'd signed for his boyhood side Celtic. I think, you know, Shane Duffy's from Derry and he loves Celtic and he grew up supporting Celtic. So for him, it was a dream come true to finally join Celtic, I think initially on a loan deal that could become permanent. So Duffy, I think, was, you know, he completed his medical in Dublin. He'd done his first interview for Celtic while he was in Dublin. And then, obviously, he was discussing about, you know, how big it was this year to win 10 in a row. And he obviously knows all about that and he's ingrained in it. So he's hoping, obviously, to make a bit of history this year with Celtic. But as we were saying, I think, last week and the week before that, and if the show was still on 2, 3, 4 years ago, we'd have still been discussing it. It's about time Celtic bought a defender that can actually defend. And I think Shane Duffy kind of fits into that. He's a tough, no-nonsense defender. He's all in. I mean, last night, I think it showed you, you know, he scored a header in the last seconds to get Ireland a draw in Bulgaria. So he can score goals. He can get stuck in. He does things that Ayer and Julian obviously don't want to do. But, you know, I think it's kind of lost with Shane Duffy that I think we're talking about him being a no-nonsense defender, but he can actually, you know, he is quite comfortable in the ball. We can still play a pass. He's not just an old brute sort of get stuck in and punt the ball into Rosette sort of defender. He can get the ball and be comfortable on it. So I think he lost his place at Brighton, not because he was bad at that. I think it was just because there was defenders at Brighton that maybe are a bit more comfortable in the ball than him. But he can do that, and he's, like I said, he's a no-nonsense player, and I think he'll fit in perfectly in the middle maybe of Ayer and Julian and maybe show them how to defend properly.
And remember, not Shane Duffy, but not to get mixed up with Shane Duffy in Boyzone.
Maybe he can defend better than Julian and Ayer as well.
No matter what happens. Sorry, that's giving away one of Boyzone's my favourite Boyzone song there. Maybe, why you gotta admit that on the regular? I'm going to get millions of emails over Matthew's pal saying, your co-host is a big Boyzone fan. I prefer Westlife myself.
Westlife are from just down the road from us, actually.
Are they? Yeah.
Yeah, about 20 miles south of here.
Yeah. I don't know why we are. Yeah, that was my fault, actually. And stuff. So, yeah.
Where can you go from here?
The only way is down. Yeah. Madonna? No, maybe not.
I don't know. So, she's went down a lot, but.
Yeah. 95, yeah. So Shane Duffy, yeah, that's a good move for Celtic, Matthew. About Shane Duffy.
Oh, it was needed. I think Celtic were crying out for a defender that could defend. But, you know, like, I think the other side of the city, you know, Rangers, I think they're showing as well, you know, like, defensively, they're solid and they've had, I don't think they've conceded a goal all season so far.
Yeah.
So it really showed Celtic what they were needing to do. And, you know, Neil Lennon's went out and bought Shane Duffy, or got a loan initially for Shane Duffy this week. But, you know, this should have been done, as a criticism, this should have been done weeks ago.
So we'll see how he gets on. I think Celtic's first game after the international is next weekend against Ross County, away from home, and that's always a tough game for Celtic, or if any other team going up there, because, I mean, look at Motherwell at the beginning of the season. They get beat, I think it was 1-0 off a county up there. So, yeah, but we'll look these games next week. But, yeah.
But you know, just a throw in there, Michael, as well. Do you know that game isn't on television at the moment?
Oh, you just reminded me, Matthew. Obviously, it's going to be a bit weird, Matthew, right? Because all the games next weekend are kicking off at 3 o'clock. I don't think there's any TV games next week, and that's a bit surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's happened there, but I mean, obviously, I think next week, I don't want to say that Sky have chosen the Premier League over Scotland, but it seems to coincide with, you know, the English Premier League coming back. But
you might be right, actually. Yeah,
yeah, it's a strange one. And Ross County, you know, for Celtic fans, I think it's a bit frustrating because, you know, they pay all of that money for Sky subscriptions to watch these games, and they assume that most of the Celtic and Rangers games, but the Celtic games in this case, are going to be on Sky, and obviously it's not. So you pay, what, 20, 30, 40, 50, depending on your deal, on a Sky subscription for the month, and now you're going to have to pay Ross County, what, £12.50 or whatever it is for a pay-per-view event next week. So it's expensive.
And I think you're right, Matthew, because of the Premiership back and all that, because it's amazing, right? When I would laugh when the Premiership was on and say it was FA Cup, and now last season you would get a Scottish Premiership game on at 4:30 because there's no getting English football. But as soon as the Premiership comes back in England, Scottish football's moved back to 12:30 or 11 o'clock in the Sunday morning or whatever. And it's shocking because I feel as though Scottish football plays second fiddle to English football.
Yeah, and you know, Scotland didn't do itself any favours, though, in the sense that every game that Sky chose up to now seems to have been a right stinker.
Yeah.
But apart from that, you know, they've paid a lot of money for the Sky deal. It's a strange one that they're not showing, well, one of the two big pools next week in Celtic at Ross County. It's a strange one, but like you say, you know, it's second fiddle, and, you know, they've maybe asked Ross County if they can play the game at funny o'clock on a Sunday, and maybe Ross County and Celtic have said no, look, that's not possible. But also, I seem to remember the fact that games at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, I thought they could now be played because there'd been a change in the law the rules that had allowed a Saturday 3 o'clock game to be shown. So I might be wrong, but I thought that had happened after the whole COVID thing. So I'm surprised it's not on at Saturday at 3.
You might be right, because don't forget that has Plymouth Sports not get any league games or the Goose Cup games that they've got?
They've got the Scottish Cup and the League Cup, and they've got obviously the European games.
Yeah, the qualifying games as well. I think BT Sport, right enough, has still got the rights, kind of, when you actually get into the Europa Cup, but up until now, it's Premier Sport for the qualifying games as well. And also, as well, next week will be the first test event for the football fans. They're talking about the game at Ibrox and the game at Ross County. Although I don't know how that's going to go down with Celtic fans. Most of them's coming from Glasgow, and Glasgow's in lockdown, so we'll see how that plays out next week.
Do you know what? I think there's been an update on that quite recently, actually, within the last few hours. I think that I don't know if the test events will actually be able to go ahead unless restrictions are lifted in Glasgow. So I think they're still, like you say, I think on paper they could still happen. And I think test events are being spoken about now, and I think even, you know, Rangers have started a ballot possibly, and Celtic the week after are starting a ballot. But I think what will happen is they might not be able to hold, by the sounds of what the government are saying, they might not be able to hold the test events until coronavirus restrictions are actually lifted in Glasgow, West Dumbartonshire, and East Renfrewshire. So I think for the...
And that's 2 weeks away.
Yeah, so I think they've said, you know, if I think the Scottish government have now said, if the restrictions are still in place, there'll be no test events taking place in Glasgow and West Dumbartonshire and East Renfrewshire. So whether that means the Ross County one can still go ahead, or whether the Ross County one's now scrapped along with everything else, I'm not entirely sure. But the new restrictions are obviously prohibiting residents in those three areas from visiting each other's houses and things like that. So I can't imagine that they can't visit a house, but they'll be able to go to Ibrox to watch a Rangers game. So it's a bit complicated, but it's also a shame because the one test event that happened in Scotland was last Friday's Pro 14 game with Edinburgh and Glasgow.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw it, but it looked like it was working. It sounded like it was working. Although the only caveat to that is they did, I think the fans that were chosen were all chosen on the basis of their postcode. So they were all really chosen on the basis that they were within near enough walking distance of Murrayfield. But even at that, it seemed to work.
Yeah. Okay, we'll come back to speak about that next week on the show, and we might have more information about it, and maybe there'll be no test events next week and stuff. But back to tonight then, Matthew, big game at Hampden Park, and I'll go over an hour or so between Scotland and Israel in the Nations League.
Yeah, I mean, just moving on from the COVID thing, it's going to be strange to see an empty Hampden for a game. So, I mean, Hampden's a big stadium as it is, and obviously the atmosphere sometimes isn't maybe the best because of the way Hampden's spaced out with the track around it and things like that. So for it to be empty as well, it's going to be an echoey, quiety sort of atmosphere. So it's going to be a really strange one, but obviously it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out on the TV tonight. Scotland, it's a strange one as well, because in true form, you know, Scotland finally start doing well and we can't go and watch them.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, Matthew, like, what you were saying as well was quite interesting. I mean, we've got used to watching football without fans. Okay, it might be a bit strange. First of all, it was Germany, like, and now the Premiership in England, and now Scotland, and now this is our first taste of international football where there's no crowd in, and obviously Hampden's a big stadium, you know, and it's going to be funny when the team sing the national anthem.
Yeah, well, we'll actually hear them sing. But then, well, maybe some of the Scottish team, though, don't actually know the words, because some of them aren't obviously from Scotland, so that's a different debate, but we'll find out who knows it and who doesn't tonight. But yeah, I mean, Scotland are finally doing well, and it's just really frustrating that we're not going to be able to watch them. So, you know, Scotland are actually looking to win four consecutive matches for the first time since 2007, would you believe? And they've won the last four or five games against Israel. So this game, on paper, looks like it could be a Scotland win. And also, you know, going on the fact that Scotland are also playing Israel next month for a place in the Euro 2021 tournament now. This game's kind of not quite a warm-up for it, because the Nations League still can qualify for tournaments, but it is a bit of a warm-up for next month's game. So it'll be interesting to see whether Scotland and Israel sort of show their hand for next month's game, or what they do. But it's obviously an interesting one, because Scotland finally have a bit of have a squad, I think, that you can start discussing who you actually play. You know, Lyndon Dykes is vying for his first cap, which is an interesting one. You've also got Oliver Burke and Callum Patterson. Callum Patterson's an even more interesting one, but they're obviously going for a place up front. And Oliver Burke, I mean, there's a chance he could start, depending, because obviously Oliver McBurney's pulled out So, and then you've got the battle between Kieran Tierney and Andrew Robertson at left back, or whether they both play.
Yeah, that'll be good. And also Monday night, we'll go on to speak about that again in a minute. But Scotland's away from home, playing the Czech Republic. And I take it both games are on Sky, Matthew, yeah?
Yeah, I think both games are on Sky. And, you know, well, Israel, I mean, we can talk about Israel initially, because I think, they're not any pushovers as well. So it should be an interesting game on Sky. I mean, they've got a few Scottish interested players. You know, Marciano could play in goals for them tonight. He's obviously the Hibs keeper. And then you've got Nir Beaton in the midfield who could play.
I was going to say, Matthew, you can actually call this the Scotland derby.
Yeah, well, do you know what the good thing is about being a Scotland fan tonight as well, and having watched Celtic in the European, the Champions League recently? El Hamid could play. So Ireland, Israel can be got at.
Yeah. It'd be funny to you know, when you watch international football, you're like that. Who's he? Who's he at number 10? But now you'll be watching the game and you say, yeah, I know that Israel 1-11. It's fine.
Yeah. And do you know what? Like, obviously, they're not going to be any walkovers tonight. But if you think about even like Scotland, when can we say this about Scotland? In goals, you could have Marshall, obviously, who's been in there for a while and has played well, and really shouldn't be dropped. But then you've also now got the Rangers keeper, McLaughlin, who's come in and kept the clean sheets at the start of the season. So who's going to start in goals? Marshall or McLaughlin are definitely two good goalkeepers. So there's a choice there to be had. Then, obviously, you've got the Tierney-Robertson situation. Will they both play? Will they play three at the back with wing-backs, or will Tierney play at right-back? You don't know, but we finally have a choice there at full-back position as to what we do. And then, obviously, in midfield, you've got McTominay, McGregor, Christie, McGinn, Forrest. So you've got a choice there, but also, as we've seen, you know, Christie, I mean, I wouldn't obviously recommend it myself going on the last few weeks, but Christie's obviously shown that he can be played as a striker. Forrest can also be played as a striker. But also you have Dykes that's in there, you have Oliver Burke in there, and you've got Callum Patterson in there as well. So you can play one up top with one behind. You could play sort of one of or two of Dykes, Patterson or Oliver Burke. So there are actually quite a lot of options in the Scotland team, and it's the first time for a while. I'm unsure as to how Scotland will start. There's lots of permutations here.
And as you say, it's typical Scotland. They could go in and go on to better things tonight, and there's no fans in the stadium to give them that kind of like 12-man backing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, we've waited since, 1998, since the last time we qualified for a tournament. We've been waiting 10 years, really, since we've had a side that looked likely to qualify for a tournament. And now we finally have a squad, I think, that are capable of
and no fans.
There. And no fans, yeah. So we might qualify for Euro 2021 and none of us can go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just a quick mention about Monday's game, Matthew, because I think you saw the news last week about the Czech Republic backroom squad has been isolating because of they've been tested for the coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it from Scotland, I mean, they currently are eating and dining in three separate groups to try and maintain social distancing. So Scotland are trying to maintain social distancing because COVID's such a obviously such an important thing at the moment. I think Neil Lennon even mentioned that he was worried about the players going away because of the risk of COVID-19 for all the players that he's obviously sending away on international duty. And then obviously the news about the Czech Republic having their, I think at the moment they're in the position of having to retest their entire squad because I think it was a member of their backroom team returned a positive result, and so they're having to retest the whole lot again. And it's right now I think the group are having to self-isolate and, so I think that's delayed obviously when they can play Slovakia I don't know at the moment. I don't think there was any other positive tests, but obviously it puts a doubt on the Scotland game from one point, whether it goes ahead full stop, or two, you know, as we've seen with the Hibs that we might go on to later if there's time, whether some of the players might not be able to play. So Scotland could be either not playing their game in the Czech Republic or playing a team that's basically decimated with COVID cases. So it'll be interesting to see between now and Monday what happens in the Czech Republic squad.
So that's in a way a win for Scotland. So let's go, before we move on to tennis, because I know Matthew's a big tennis fan.
Well, just a quick one as well, just before, Well, I was going to mention just quickly about Ollie McBurney as well, just quickly. Because when you were talking about Scotland, I don't know if you saw the disaster this week of Ollie McBurney was obviously pulled out of the squad due to injury. And then he then played for Sheffield United in a friendly match this week.
Oof. So do you think he'll get fined of that, or?
Well, do you know what? It was after the event, he got a lot of criticism, obviously. And after all this happened, I think the Sheffield United manager and Steve Clarke had come out and said, you know, oh, this was prearranged and don't worry about it. We've all came to the agreement. But, you know, at best case scenario is it's a disaster from a PR point of view, because obviously Scotland should have made it clear, and Sheffield United, but Scotland in particular, should have made it clear that Ollie McBurney wasn't going to play. But, you know, for me, it seems like this has maybe just happened and Scotland are on the back foot with it. Ollie McBurney's got previous of doing things like that. He doesn't seem the most dedicated to me as a Scotland international. So I wasn't really surprised when this happened. And yeah, okay, he's maybe got an injury, and yeah, okay, he's not 110% fit. But this has just been a catastrophe, really. And it just makes Ollie McBurney now go even more on the back foot in regards to his Scotland career than he even was before. And it's a shame, because he's a top-class player, he's a top-class striker. Scotland could really do with him, but ever since he's joined up with the Scotland international group, it's just been a disaster.
Yeah, I know. It's, similar, you know yourself, Matthew, I mean, we've been talking for years, not on this particular show, but we've been talking for years about, you know, who comes first, is it club or country? And it's back to that old debate again. Would you rather play for Scotland, or would you rather play for Scotland when you feel like it?
Yeah, and I think with this one, I mean, like I said, I think if this had happened as a one-off, there might not have been so much criticism. But obviously, like I said, Ollie McBurney's had a bit of a back record of this. He's obviously, the videos came out as well with him. There's been a lot of little niggly incidents with this, and this is just a long line of it. And like I said, at best, you know, it was a PR disaster in Scotland, or maybe just overlooked the fact that this incident might have come up. But again, because they've been on the back foot, and because the Scotland PR team are quite professional, it doesn't look that way. If you look into it a bit more, yeah, he's injured, but it just seems, and he's came back from injury, but it doesn't look great when you're, you know, playing in a friendly match and you're coming on, but you don't really seem that interested in the Scotland setup. And then you're having to backtrack afterwards and release a statement on Twitter. Whereas you wouldn't have done it otherwise. It didn't seem that he was that interested in it before, until all the criticism started. So, you know, like I said, at worst, it's a PR disaster. Sorry, at best, it's a PR disaster, but at worst, it just comes across as him as being a bit disinterested and blasé with his Scotland future.
And especially if we win tonight, that will overshadow the score, because maybe the headlines will be all about him, and, you know, we don't want that to happen, you know.
And, you know, as well, for his international career, you know, if Lyndon Dykes comes in and does what we all hope he does after, I mean, I think he played for Queen's Park Rangers, and I think he's already got off the mark down there in a friendly match or something. So he's doing okay, and it just, if he comes in and does well for Scotland and scores maybe tonight and does well on Monday, maybe Ollie McBurney drops down the pecking order and Lyndon Dykes is up there instead.
You were talking about Hibs as well, Matthew.
Yeah, well, that came up with the whole thing with obviously the football scores this weekend. I don't know if you want to read out the scores or do you want me to read out the scores of what happened?
Because I've not got them in front of me.
Just before I talk about Hibs, I'll put this into a bit of context. I think obviously on the Saturday it was Kilmarnock beat Dundee United 4-0, which was a bit of an interesting result actually. Dundee United were obviously coming into that in good form, so to go down to Kilmarnock and lose 4-0 was a bit of a shock there, but decent result for Kilmarnock. Livingston beat Ross County 1-0 on the plastic pitch. St Johnson beat St Mirren 1-0 in Perth, and Rangers obviously kept a clean sheet and looked pretty good against Hamilton. So Rangers go into that top of the league. Going on what happened then on Sunday, Celtic obviously beat Motherwell 3-0, and really what I thought was the game of the weekend on paper was Hibs 0 Aberdeen 1. And you know, like you were saying about COVID, I think the game kind of started off from it started off a bit strange because Hibs were forced to cancel a training event on the Saturday after Alex Gogic returned a false positive test. And then obviously he did another two further tests that came back negative. But the player obviously had to self-isolate for 10 days. So that, even though it came back as a false positive and they had two tests coming back negative, he then couldn't play going on the guidelines. So Hibs were really at a loss as to what they were supposed to do. They'd obviously missed a training day. So they were going into the game at a bit of the back foot. And obviously without Gogic, Aberdeen kind of took the game to them. The hosts, I mean, Hibs started off okay. Martin Boyle should have gave them the lead in the opening few minutes. But unfortunately, he just had a tame effort in the end. Josh Doig had the chance as well. Boyle drew another save. So Hibs were looking actually okay. But obviously, in the end, I think Aberdeen started to take control of the game. And without Gogic, they kind of missed that anchor in midfield, going on the whole COVID mess. Ross McCrory was making his debut. Ferguson was in midfield, and really Aberdeen started to take control of it. And Hibs eventually did go behind, and once they did go behind, they never really looked like they were going to get back into the game, because Aberdeen absolutely then dominated the midfield. The goal came from a penalty, and I don't know if you saw it, but it was a disaster. And it was probably, I would say, I don't want to get this into boo boo of the week. Maybe we should do a boo boo of the week.
Boo boo of the week.
Yeah, because there's a stronger word for it, but this was definitely boo boo of the week. Basically, Boyle lost control in his box, and instead of just doing what really we've criticised Celtic for, instead of just clearing the ball out the box, he started to run rings around himself, and eventually just kicked out and gave away a stupid penalty that Aberdeen converted. With a plum, and like I said, after the penalty disaster, really with Boyle after that, Aberdeen took control of the midfield. McCrory was probably my man of the match, and it's typical because McCrory nearly joined Hibs last week, but he went to Aberdeen instead and put on the man of the match performance. And Hibs without Gogic looked really light in midfield, and Aberdeen came away with a win and really looked like their old self. So it was probably their biggest result of the year, Aberdeen, but it showed that Hibs, even though they've had a brilliant start to the season, I think the squad isn't maybe big enough if they lose one or two big names like Alex Gogic. But going off the COVID thing, obviously the COVID disaster didn't help, and I think the SPL really need to look at how they do the rules in the future, because even though he did have a few negative tests after that, you know, Hibs build up to the game was in tatters.
You know, Mavie, I was looking forward to that game because I don't know about you, that was a game of the weekend, and I completely missed it, right? And I turned it over, right?
Yeah.
And at the bottom of the screen, it said Hibs nil, Aberdeen 1, FT, and that was full time, so I missed the game.
Well, do you know what? It was one of those games that you didn't miss much. You missed, obviously, the penalty, which was... It was just... I mean, honestly, it was comical. I mean, Boyle lost control. Then he was trying to turn himself in and out. He should have just cleared the ball. He retreated into his own box. And then when he was just about to finally clear it, I think he was just about to finally clear it after, like, a minute of comical play, Watkins came in and nicked the ball off him and he kicked him down. So it's just it was just a mess.
Cool.
But like I said, you know, it was a shame because Hibs build up to it was atrocious. They missed Gogic, but Ross McCrory and Bergesen looked brilliant. And outside of obviously the Rangers midfield and the Celtic midfield, and maybe arguably the Hibs midfield when Gogic is in there, McCrory and Bergesen look like they could be a very exciting midfield pair for Aberdeen. And they'll definitely, I think even at this early stage of the season, I think I can see the top four being, not in any order in particular, but I can see, you know, obviously the Old Firm being in the top two and Aberdeen and Hibs being third and fourth.
Yeah, that's what, I'm not going to say that. Or maybe I am because Marcy said that, but no, that's what I was going to say as well. But I don't know in what order, but yeah, they would be my kind of like top four at the moment. But, you know, things could change in Scottish football. But what I was going to say was, gives a footnote to that, Matthew, and I spoke to you about this before. I think it's brilliant that Scottish football is highlights are on a Saturday night instead of a Sunday night. Now, I know why they're doing that, because no fans can get into the game, but I'm hoping that when the fans go back to the football, then they'll keep the football on a Saturday night and a Sunday night, because it's good to watch. Because, you know, if the Premiership can do it with Gary Lineker, Murray Mayor Gary Lineker, Jono Sutherland can do it up here.
Yeah, and I mean, in the olden days, and I would say, you know,
back in the day,
yeah, I mean, did we not used to have the Scottish football highlights first, and then the English highlights was right after?
Hold on, can I get the Hovis advert on? On you go, Matthew. Back in the day. There was football on a Saturday night, and you used to have two Premiership games as well.
Yeah, I used to enjoy that, you know, and it kind of meant you could go to the games, you could have a few pints, then you could watch the sports scene thing, and then obviously, you'd maybe have been to one Scottish game, you could see the rest of them, and then obviously the English games were on right after it, and you could watch the English highlights too, so it was a really good night of football on BBC Scotland, so I hope they eventually continue that. With Scottish football first, rightly in its place, and then English football in its rightful place behind Scottish football, so...
Now, I'm a bit worried now, Matthew, because you say back in the day, so you're the same age as me, right? Basically, when the football was on, I was on the 10. So, are you saying that you went to the pub to... Like, okay, let's move on now.
It's the Lanarkshire in me.
The police at the door.
Listen, there's a picture of me as a baby, I think, in Bells Hill Golf Club, right? And I must have been only, I wasn't old enough to eat solids, but there was the old tin of, do you remember the tin of beer that you used to have, that you used to peel off the thing, peel off the lid? That was right in front of me. So there's a picture of me as a baby and in this can of McEwan's in front of me.
So, I mean, you've always known me because my second name's McEwan, so that's good to know, Matthew. Keep it in the family, that's what I say. I mean, this show's coming into, we were being very serious for weeks now, Matthew, and we've just opened it right up to a comedy show. But
sadly, that was my life.
Yeah.
tragic comedy.
Yeah, and next week we'll be joined by Michael Aspel with This Is Your Life. you're listening to Indie Live Radio on a Friday night, the locker room with me, Mike McCoon, and my wonderful co-host. Well, that's what it says here anyway. I'm not sure about wonderful. Some Matthew Lingard, and we're trying to talk about sport. And when Matthew is speaking about, he went to the pub when he was 10 so let's
Bells Hill Golf Club, Michael. Bells Hill Golf Club.
Bells Hill, 4.
Have your balls nicked on the 12th hole.
Okay, well, we're swift on now, because that conversation can go anywhere. And if it wasn't on air, well, that could give me a wonderful conversation. I'll carry on after the show. Yeah, sorry. Where was I? Okay, so we were talking about Scotland and all that. So good luck to Scotland to Mike and Monday and Mike as well. Have you been watching the US Open, Matthew?
I saw the Andy Murray sort of game. I've not really watched the rest of it, but I was interested to see how Andy... We were speaking about it last week, I think, so I was interested to see how Andy Murray would get on in his first major, really, since his operation. So it was interesting to see how he was going to get on.
But no, I was going to say, Keith, I was weird as well, because we're talking about stadiums being empty in Hampden and all that kind of stuff. But see, when you watch the tennis in New York, it's a big, massive stadium with nobody in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the tennis crowds are a bit funny, so the atmosphere is always a bit strange in there. But that one is quite a big tennis venue, so it was quite interesting. But I suppose it was quite good for Andy Murray. It kind of feels that he's easing his way back in, and with no crowds, maybe the pressure's off a little bit for him as such. And, you know, he managed to get on with it. But, I mean, like we were saying last week, he's had these injury problems, and it was good, really, to see him back in action. Because I never thought he would come back, to be frank. So it's good that he has done, and he got off the mark.
Apparently, I never watched the game last night because I had to go to my bed to prepare for the show, because I'm a professional, not. And but basically, like, he was swearing a few times, and the TV had to, well, the commentators on the TV had to apologise because he was using the F words and stuff and
yeah. I mean it must be frustrating for him. I mean like I said, you know, I think
He said well to come back.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I never thought he would come back, and you know, he didn't. I mean, the first round he didn't look he didn't look at his best anyway, and I think he was, you know, he lost the first two sets to the Japanese player. And he did come back, and he did win a five-setter, I think, eventually. Yeah. He did get through the first round. So, you know, that was a major challenge for him. And I know he lost last night, ultimately. But I think it was good that he's back on the scene. I think it's good that he's come through, like I said, his first matches, really, since his hip surgery. Maybe this will push him on. I mean, last night sounded a bit frustrating for him. And it must be frustrating when... You may be in your mind, you're still as good as you used to be, but your body's not quite at that level yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he got beaten scratch sets, Matthew, like 6-2, 6-3, 6-4.
Well, when he went two sets down, I think we were always kind of thinking maybe he'll come back like he did during the week.
Yeah.
He never really threatened it at all, did he?
No.
But again, you know, if he's swearing and cursing and stuff, maybe he's looking for a film deal.
Another
tennis player.
Well, me and Matthew is available for that as well. So if we can, you know...
Depends what sort of film.
Yeah. Okay. That means we'll move on now. Matthew's setting me up for a great fall here, folks. But Matthew will be back next week. We're joined by another member of the Lingard family called Matthew. But
myself and me.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence that the boy's name's Matthew as well, and I was at a pub when I was 10 in Bells Hill. Sorry, Matthew. It was good to see Andy Murray back and all that too, because in the first round he was getting beat, but he came back to win it in five sets, and it must have been because I don't know if you saw it, Matthew, right, but at the end of the game, he could carry walk.
Yeah, I mean, I think it will take him a while. I mean, hip surgery is one of these things. It does affect your movement. And, you know, like I said, I didn't think he would come back, to be honest. I thought that was kind of it for Andy Murray, sadly. But he's done well to come back, to get any sort of matches in. You know, he's went out in the second round, but he'll work at it, and maybe we'll see where he's at in the next tournament that comes up.
And also, just a kind of quick update on there's another Scottish player in the tennis from Scotland, believe it or not, Cameron Norrie from Scotland. He's in the third round of a Grand Slam for the first time, and that's pretty good to see. Cameron is 25. So that's good experience for him. And also Kyle Edmonds, he lost in the first round to top seed Nadal. He got beaten in the first round. So, but it's very good to see the US Open back on and still. No, sorry, he got beat off of Djokovic, sorry. So that's Edmund out of the championships. And also next week, I think it is, you'll have the wheelchair tennis as well. So you'll have Gordon Reid representing Scotland on that one, and watch that one. So that's the US Open, Matthew, and it's on between now to the 13th of September.
Do you know what? It's quite good though, Murray. I mean, like, when you think about the Murray dynasty in tennis and you think about the Scottish players you've mentioned, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's quite mad that Scotland's now got players coming through that aren't just with the last name of Murray.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really quite good to see that Scotland as getting recognised now on the tennis map, as it were.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we've done better than England in regards to Wimbledon winners and things like that. So it's quite impressive for a well known.
Matthew set me up now for moving on this week. I think that's a fucked time, Matthew, this week. So well done.
Sorry, guys.
You have a match ball in your arm. No, I'm only kidding. On you go, Matthew. It's fine. It's really good to see the tennis back on and stuff. The only thing is it's on very late at night now, so because it's in New York, you know.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, it's funny because I was about to say as well, the NFL is actually starting in America, and like I warned you last week, I'm quite into it, and the first game is actually on Thursday, with the Kansas City Chiefs starting off their Super Bowl reign this year, and that game will be on a Friday morning, really, I think, I think it's on from midnight on Friday, the show's on Sky Sports, so it's up back to my late nights watching the NFL, so I'm looking forward to it. So I might watch some of the tennis eventually, but I'll watch the NFL next week, and I'll next week will be an interesting show when I'm half asleep. So if I start snoring, that's why.
So that means that there'll be a league game on every week now from the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, normally there's a Thursday night game and there's a Monday night game, and then obviously the Sunday games. The Sunday games are a bit more reasonable. There's normally a Sunday game on at 6 and 9:30 British time. And then obviously there's a Sunday night game, a Monday night game and a Thursday night game. So the NFL will be back, and it'll be interesting to see because COVID's hit the NFL as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they work it and how squads get together and how it affects the championship.
Maybe you can give me a husk of the lesson, Matthew, about the NFL, because I don't know much about the NFL. So who's like the top team?
Well, at the moment, Kansas City Chiefs are the top team. They've got an all right defence, but they've got Patrick Mahomes as our quarterback at the moment, and he's one of the top athletes, really, in world sport, not even just in the NFL. So last year, he won the Super Bowl, not single-handedly, but near enough for Kansas City. So they're going into that as Super Bowl champions, but obviously, there's a lot of other teams who are doing quite well in that. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have picked up Tom Brady, who is one of the best quarterbacks of all time from the New England Patriots. And he's brought along his tight end, Gronkowski, with him from his New England Patriots days. So there's a few decent teams in the NFL. It'll be interesting to see how the Kansas City get on, because not many teams win back-to-back Super Bowls. It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, it was interesting that you mentioned the MFL, because when I was telling you about the Tottenham documentary, when they built the new stadium, I don't know if you know, Matthew, but they've actually got two parks.
Michael, I'm going to impress you here no end. I was at the first NFL game to be played at that Tottenham Stadium.
You give it away. I think me and you are going to fall. Yeah, so basically they've got two parks there. A football park and obviously, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how it works. Do they not electronically move it up? So, well, or they move the pitch away, one of the two.
Yeah, they move it away. Yeah, they shove it away. It's a good Scottish saying, but no, they put it on a wee.
Well, I thought you were going to say they park it.
Yeah, they park it in the park. Yeah, but no. So, I mean, is it a good atmosphere then when you go to the MFL, the Tottenham stadium?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I mean, myself and my daughter Emma went to the game, and it's a funny atmosphere, because what you get in the UK is, or I'll say UK because that's what they call it, but in England, what you get with the NFL is that it's not just like, I think the game I went to was the Chicago Bears against the Oakland Raiders, but the fans obviously from Ireland and Scotland and England and Germany even come over. What you get is you get fans from all clubs or all sort of teams going, so even though you're watching the Bears against the Raiders, you've got fans from everywhere there, so it's quite a generic atmosphere, which is good on one hand because everybody's friendly and stuff, but you don't get the passion that you would if you went to the States. So I went to a Super Bowl in 2014, and the atmosphere was just electric, especially from the Seattle Seahawks. So it was more like a traditional football game over here, whereas the London game is more like an exhibition NFL game. So the atmosphere is happy and jolly, but it's not as intense and as exciting as maybe going to the States to watch a game is. But it's okay. It is what it is.
And I bet you it felt a bit weird kind of going to the Tottenham stadium to see, not Tottenham, to see American football. But
well, normally I go to Tottenham to watch Aston Villa get beat, so it was quite interesting going to a game like that. So, I haven't been to the new, obviously the new stadium's quite, obviously, like last year it was new, but I'd obviously only been to the old White Hart Lane. But I have to say, Tottenham have done an amazing job in that stadium. It's one of the best stadiums I've been to be honest.
Yeah, it looks a pleasure from the outside when you see it, and especially when they do a pan shot from up above the stadium and all that. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I got myself a beer, and you know, you put your cup down, and it sort of fills from the bottom. So the cup's got a wee sort of hole bit at the bottom. You put your pint on this thing, and it fills it from the bottom up. And after a few jars, I think my daughter had said to me, "Oh, what happens here? Put your finger in it and see." And I thought, "Oh, I wonder what does happen." And my pint fell out the bottom. That's good. Yeah. The moral of the story is don't put your finger in there.
Why am I laughing, Matthew? So you can email us in about any comments that you've heard on the show tonight, because this has been a very serious show. You can email us lockerroomindelive@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook as well. Just one quick thing, Matthew, before we finish off this week. I saw that my favourite snooker player is coming back out of retirement. Stephen Henry is to come back to come out of retirement to compete in the snooker again.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock. It kind of, I mean, I know a few weeks ago, I think whether it was off air or on air, we're laughing about Stephen Henry and being the only snooker player we knew and stuff like that.
No, I think you did, man.
We were just joking. We knew all the snooker players. But it was just funny that he decided to come back. So hopefully he does okay. I mean, he retired in 2012, so that's, you know, a good 8 years ago. And he slipped out, I think, then. He played in the World Championship. He got knocked out in the quarterfinal stage. And then he obviously retired. But after 8 years, and he's 51 years old, he's decided to come back. He's obviously one of the most decorated players in Scottish snooker history. So it's good to really see him back. It'll be just interesting to see what level he's at after 8 years out of the game.
Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm in the locker room indie life regular is going to take credit for this, Matthew, because he might have been listening to the show a few weeks ago and says, Michael Matthew, speaking about snooker, I need to get out of retirement. So, and then he came out of retirement. So there you go, Matthew, job done.
Was that so he doesn't have to listen to us anymore? It's so frustrating that he's like, I'm going back to that snooker. I'm not doing this anymore.
yeah, I know, yeah. What's what you're doing with that snooker chair now? Don't pick it over your head? I know.
Don't poke it up the glass at Tottenham.
Okay, Matthew, this week's show is going to be a brilliant show, by the way, if you listen back to it. And Matthew has been sober through the whole
show. Michael, I think it's because it's international weekend. Yeah. I think it drives you mad. I mean, like, you've been waiting all this time for the Scottish football to get back, and then international football comes along, and I don't want to say ruin it, but I think this is the one time where you just want. I think the Premier League was getting really interesting, and then Scottish football, the international scenes come along and kind of just put a bit of a spanner on it for a while. So maybe that's why we're just jolly for a change. But there's one big game tonight as well, tomorrow night, that I'd like to just quickly mention is the Pro 14 semi-final, because it's the first time really Edinburgh have done anything for a while in this tournament, and they've reached the semi-final. And they go out to play Ulster this weekend at Murrayfield. And I think it's the first time they've had a semi-final, a home semi-final in the Pro 14. So Edinburgh have obviously been on the way up for a while, and they've topped this season off by getting to the semi-final against Ulster. It's their first time they've had a home game. So it's going to be really interesting to see tomorrow night, how Edinburgh and Ulster goes. Night.
Yeah, that'll be good. So we'll keep across every single sporting event, and Matthew's going off to America now in his private jet to watch the NFL. So the show will be coming from, I'll be in New York and Matthew will be somewhere else next week, and we'll be coming live from there.
From Bells Hill Golf Course.
Yeah. In the pub. So if you've listened to the show for an hour, I want to say well done to you, because you put up with a hell of a lot tonight on the show. But honestly, we are two professionals. Yeah. So email. Are you okay there, Matthew? So you can email us at indievives@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you've missed the best bits of the show, well, we've missed it as well then. the show will be repeated on a Tuesday at 11 o'clock in the morning. And if you've listened to that, you've missed maybe all the sporting events because this took place at the weekend. And hopefully, if you listen to this on the Tuesday, Scotland would have won two games. Here we go. So we'll be back next week. Have a good week and we'll see you soon. Cheers, Matthew.
Cheers, Michael, and take care, everyone.